Yes, I am. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You and me, we live in harmony. Gilbert is a fatty. Gilbert is a fatty.
Didn't see that turn.
You and me, we live in harmony. Gilbert is a fatty.
I'm not. Oh, that's not when you come in.
When do I come in?
You just, you know, your fat around your body. Yeah, squish it.
Squish it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, go over top.
Like that.
Okay.
You and me, we live in harmony. Gilbert is a fatty.
Yeah, there we go. I like it. Welcome to Tiger Belly. We got Georgetown, USA here. We got Gilgil. We got Kalila. And no guests tonight. It's fine. I like it that way sometimes. And I want to start off by saying what happened to me yesterday. Yesterday, I had to do a show on Comedy Central called The Goddamn Comedy Jam. Basically what it is comedians, they tell a little story about a song that they like, and then they sing the song with a full band in back of them. Mm-hmm. And I was probably one of the last people asked to do it because I think they were trying to get bigger people. They got pretty big people though. So here's the deal, all right? It was me, Sarah Tiana, Colton Dunn, who's on
Superstore,
but he also is a writer on Mad. Chris Hardwick and Fortune Feimster. And the biggest note that I had from Comedy Central, and the only note, was do not show your dick.
Can't say that to Bobby Lee.
That's literally the note from the top of Comedy Central. Please, all week. Do not show your dick.
Oh, specific to you.
Yeah. No, it wasn't just it was just specifically to me.
Yeah.
In fact, they would keep bringing it up. Like, hey, just remind you, you can't show your dick. And I go, all right.
Got it.
I got it. You know?
Heard you.
And
don't,
so.
Don't kill the surprise.
I'm not going to show. Yeah, I'm not going to show the kill the surprise.
Well.
So I show up, and number one, it's a pretty big deal. A lot of pressure because, you know, it's a new series, they're putting a lot of money into it, and the money that I got was pretty good. I'm not gonna say what it is, but for one show on Comedy Central, it's like the most amount that ever been paid for something. And I'm thinking to myself, what the fuck? This is easy. It's not easy money because I had to do days of singing lessons.
Oh, you took lessons?
Oh, I had a voice coach.
Well, after they heard.
Well, they heard me.
They were like, wait. We need to
yeah,
this
they heard
guy
me Tuesday
coach.
At a rehearsal, and they were like, I was started singing, and you can see them, everyone huddling around, going, what the fuck do we do? We can't fire him. So they go, you need to take a voice coach. It was me and Marion Lynn Rice Cub that had to take a voice coach. I think she volunteered. She wasn't forced. I was forced to.
I watched the show, and I watched all the performers go up.
Yeah.
And I feel like it was unfair to you.
It was so no, let me finish though. So this is what happened. So I show up and I'm last. Mm-hmm. So they all go up, and then the two before me was Tiffany Haddish. Mm-hmm. She's on the Gerard Carmichael show, but she's also extremely talented. Like, she is so confident about her comedy abilities and as a singer. And she went up in front of this packed fucking theater, and she rocked the fucking house. Standing ovation.
Oh, damn.
Right?
Yeah.
Standing out.
You follow
it
that?
Was
no. And then
spectacular.
So it was like 10.
I started sweating because I was like.
Oh, because you knew.
He had to go after her.
Yeah. No, no. So she goes up there, and I'm sweating backstage.
Yeah.
And I turned to Colton Dunn. I go, I made a mistake. I should have done it. You know, he's like, you'll be fine. But I go, well, Chris Hardwick's going up. I don't know if he's a singer.
No.
He goes up there, tells a very funny story, and then he goes, he starts talking about something, and then all of a sudden I hear, and he's going to play with me.
Don't say his name, though.
Why?
But it was a special guest. He brought in, like, a real rock star.
A real rock star.
So he brought someone to
and
help him.
He had an assist.
An assist.
But not only did he have an assist, I did not know Chris Hardwick can fucking sing.
He can sing,
too.
Right?
So that's already two for two.
Right? And not only that.
Like, he would have made it as a rock star.
The guy that did it with him was the guy that wrote the song.
Well, that's already, that's a home run.
Right? So,
and here's little
up,
Bobby.
And I'm in the back going, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. So I tell myself, the story part, I thought I crushed it. She doesn't think so, but.
Because you didn't tell the story I wrote. It
doesn't matter.
You wrote.
She wrote my story, yeah.
And like not a single word.
It doesn't matter, but I did I not get laughs?
No, because you did your part of your act.
That's fine.
Beginning.
I don't give a fuck because I had to survive. And I want to every anyone that's a Tiger Belly fan, when it push comes to shove and you're up against the wall, Papa survives. Yeah. And I'm going to live. So now I'm into the song. Okay. It's going okay. I think it's going okay. Mm-hmm. You didn't think so? The singing part?
How many days did you have to rehearse?
Two.
You didn't like the singing part?
Well, I thought that for your level,
yeah.
You did great.
Okay, well, that's...
You exceeded...
When she says shit like that...
For your level?
At my level.
But you were doing some really desperate moves that I thought was for sure going to... You know, get you in a stretcher because you were doing some like joint, like actual arthritic joint popping. Because I think that you were so intimidated by Chris Hardwick and Tiffany Haddish that you were doing some offbeat shit. Like you were doing a leg drag across stage.
Yeah,
like,
I did a leg drag.
It was as if like
I don't know what the fuck that. What
like
fuck
it was as
that?
If like his actual like hip bone disjointed from his like pelvis, and he was doing like some weird leg.
And my body was like saying, and I could feel like going, "You got to do something." It wasn't a mental thing. My body was
survival
going.
Mode.
His
yeah, survival. Right.
Was so confusing.
Oh my God. I did some crazy weird shit.
It got
shit.
Laughs, though.
I don't know.
It got something.
It got something. And then, so then, next thing I know, my dick's out.
Oh my God.
I mean, I don't know what happened, but my pants were down, and I was only going to do it for a split second at the end.
Like a flash.
So this is the end, so I'm just going to flash my dick.
Yeah.
The song kept going.
It wasn't over.
It wasn't over. The song wasn't over. So now my dick's out. The song's not over. So now I start swaying back and forth. You know what I mean? With my dick out, right? And in my head, I'm going, this is it. This is the last thing you do for Comedy Central. Enjoy it. And so now, and then the song ends, and I don't even leave where you didn't see me. I could have died.
What do you mean you could have died?
Because you're supposed to leave stage, the back door, whatever, the entrances or whatever. I don't know where it is because I'm naked. My dick is out. So I hop over the actual stage and there's pipes and spikes sticking out of it.
Bobby, what are you doing?
Yeah, I know. So my dick could have fucking fell off. So then I still have the mic in my hand and I wander downstairs thinking that, right? And the first guy I see is Chris Hardwick. He's like, wow. I go, what do you mean? He goes, just wow. And I go back, I give the mic, and then I get a text from the executives.
Oh, no.
On my phone. And they go, wow, your dick looks really bigger on TV.
From the executives?
Yeah, one of the executives. And then I went upstairs to see everybody, and they all were totally fine with it.
Oh.
It was amazing.
But the crowd might have not been. Like, I actually saw a woman clutch her pearls. No, after a collective gasp and you look around, there was a woman in the corner just like, this. She was so frightened.
It's not fair because Fortune Feimster used Natalie, what's her name?
Natalie. Are you okay? Are you supposed to give this stuff away?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It's going to air soon, right?
They already texted, they Instagrammed it already.
Oh, yeah. Or did you?
No, they already Instagrammed it.
Oh, okay.
What's her name?
I just don't give it away.
The Dixie
anymore.
Chicks lady, Natalie, something.
There were some performers.
So she brought
there.
Country stars.
She brought a country song that wrote the song. Chris brought a rock star. And then the black ones, like Colton and Tiffany, doesn't count.
Why?
Because they could just, they already know how.
Oh, great singers.
I mean.
Was that racist?
No. Who are you trying to bring?
Nobody. Nobody wanted to do it with me.
Did you ask?
No. Oh. I could barely get the Rod Stewart to even use my song. That's why she had to write a letter.
That's right.
She wrote a letter, dear Mr. Rod Stewart, you know, and then because of her letter, he approved it.
But
anyway,
everybody could sing, but Bobby. Like, you could tell they had some actual chops.
You really think that that Fortune Feimster sang better than me?
Is she a real singer?
But her story was so strong.
I know, but do you think her singing was better?
It was fair. I think it was probably on par with you, actually. She had brought in a rock star. She had an assist.
Everyone thought my singing was good.
I'm just trying to be like an honest voice.
She's the worst. She's so not. I want her there always. And I said, because she was sick all week. So I go, you have to go. Mm-hmm. I'm sick. And then when she shows up, she's so critical that even if I thought I did a great job, I was like feeling high off of it. Like I was like, oh my God, I survived that. Because people like were like complimenting me. But then she just goes, your story was disjointed. You didn't prepare. Your singing was not that great. It was the worst one of the night. And then you're just kind of going,
well,
I didn't say you were the worst. Are you kidding me? I was highly entertained. It's just that Hollywood is just a community of fucking people who blow smoke up each other's asses all day long. So I don't think that you can be constructive and you can grow or improve if people are just constantly patting you on the shoulder and saying good job. Like that's, you know, at some point someone's got to be like objective about it.
You're right. And I really like that kind of thing because it's, you know, I do like it. It still hurts. And he gets sad about
it. I just want you to be a little bit more disciplined in the future. Those stories that people told were really well prepared. And yours was a little bit more disjointed. And I can tell because you only took a day to prepare for that story. You know?
Have you told the story before?
Yeah, Gilbert. I fucking already told you that's what the thing was.
Oh, the same. Okay. I don't know if
you tell a story and you tell them why you're singing the song. Right? So now I'm against a wall. I have to follow two heavyweights. I did kind of have more of a specific story, but in my head, I'm like, I'm on survival mode. So I cut a lot of my mind and I did my act. Mm-hmm. The first two and a half minutes were jokes I do on stage because I needed to get laughs.
Get them warm.
So I was killing. I think that in terms of response, my stand up was.
Yeah, but you that's part of your.
Right.
Act.
It doesn't matter. I know I cheated.
You didn't
I'm a cheater.
Or survival.
But then I tried to segue my act into the story. It felt a little stretched, but I did what I thought I had to do under the fucking circumstances, man. I was fucking under fire.
You did fine.
No, I did great.
Okay, yes.
I did great.
You did fine. I did fucking great.
I did great.
Blah, blah, right. Motherfucker.
All right, you fucking you did unsupportive lady. And you know why she's like that? Because her mom was so hard on her. Mm.
No.
Yeah, your mom was hard on you.
Yeah, it's not that she was hard on me. She just never gave me any praise, but she also never gave me constructive criticism. So it was just, you know, when you were younger, she was in a bad place in her life, so it was just automatic abuse.
Right.
You know, so that's all I got. I never got any type of positive reinforcement. That just wasn't a part of her repertoire. But it's just her being a young mom and... But
yeah.
No, I notice it a lot. I observe it a lot amongst, you know, people, and they play the Hollywood game a lot. I'm a fan of yours. You're so great. Good job. And it's always this like fake positivity where.
Can I make an argument though? May I make an argument?
I don't think it actually is that way with a lot of comedians. I think comedians roast each other a lot, or a little bit more objective with one another.
Sometimes I'll know a comic that doesn't really like me, or I don't know them that well. And so I'll throw out a fake compliment just so that I can kind of shatter that surface. Mm-hmm. I'll give you an example. And this is, I did it a couple days ago, but I want to name the name. But I'll just give you a different example that this didn't happen. Like if I was hanging out with, if I saw Aziz Ansari, who I'm not, he's nice to me. We've talked before, but, you know, I'm not friends with him. Mm-hmm. I respect him. I like him. You know, I think he's talented. But let's suppose, like, I'm in a situation with him, like, in a party. I go, hey, man, I just love you, dude. You were great in Parks and Rec. I've never seen it. But I would say something like that.
Yeah, that's an icebreaker. That's, like, that's... Those
and then
are,
they go, yeah.
Babe. Yeah. That's different.
Yeah, I love
from,
it. Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I'm a liar. Yeah. I'm a full-blown liar.
But you're not... friends with him. I'm saying like friends are even lying to each other in this industry. It's like no one's, you know,
huh.
no one's very transparent, you know. Everyone's kind of trying to climb the rung, and you know.
I don't know. I mean, like if
flattery.
My stand-up friends, like Eric Griffin, they don't flow me bullshit.
They don't. I think Eric's always very
Eric's
honest.
So almost, he's like you, like kind of like
Eric's probably me times 100.
Yeah, you know what I mean, like, dude, you're, you know what I mean, your timing was fucked.
Yeah, Eric's great.
And then you're like, what? You know, I'm not like that with my friends. We don't sugarcoat things. I told Chris D'Elia, I've never seen Undateable. Mm-hmm. Chris D'Elia. He goes, what? I just don't want to watch it. And that's how we are.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about in Hollywood. I think like it's like this in any part of the world or business or anything where you will say certain things just to get a leg up in a conversation. I think that is not a bad thing.
That's called being polite. Of course, Bobby. That's not a bad thing at all. You don't approach someone you don't know and saying your work is shit, man.
Yeah.
And then try to strike a conversation that way. That's not what I'm saying.
And I think that also in my head, I visualize how things are going to be cut together on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And in my head, I go, you know what? It's going to be fine. Yeah. When they cut it together, you know, mm-hmm. because they sweeten it. Mm. We don't know what the order is.
I
and
just
so all
hope
that
they,
stuff kind of...
I just hope they do a slow-mo on the leg drag. It was like the opposite of
like, see this leg drag.
What does it Michael Jackson do?
The moonwalk.
It's like the opposite version of that. If
yes,
you can imagine.
The Mars walk.
I did the Mars walk right there.
The Bobby Lee I made
Mars
it up.
Walk.
Yeah.
On the spot. Out of survival.
New move.
Anyone listen to me right now,
it almost
man.
Looked like he had a leg cramp and he just started walking and dragging his leg.
Or God. That's impressive, too. That he
and
had
then,
a leg
and then,
low
and then
potassium.
And then, you know, I wanted her to come yeah. to the show last night, but she brings her gypsies.
My band of gypsies.
You brought the squad.
She bought three gypsies.
Jenna.
Some of them had crystals in their pocket.
Jenna.
No, not Jenna. Oh. One of the hippies had fucking crystals in her pocket.
Shandy.
Yeah, yeah.
They're my gypsy. My band
that's
of
fine,
gypsies.
But they could have jinxed me too.
No, they loved you.
No, they made him do the leg drag.
Yeah, maybe.
They loved
they
him.
Did it.
Maybe.
They were much more supportive than me.
But I want to say something about Josh Adam Myers. Now, if you don't know who he is, mm-hmm. okay, he is the executive producer of it. He created it. And Josh Adam Myers, I don't know if we talked about on the show, about Angelo Bowers. Have you ever mentioned Angelo
yes,
Bowers on the
have.
Show?
But we can so. Retell the
well,
story.
Well, I'm going to retell the story, okay? So years ago, I met a kid named Angelo Bowers. He was an open micer. One of the best joke writers I'd seen in a very long time. For that level of a guy that hadn't made it yet and was still doing the open mic scene, very good. And just like non-sequitur, what did I say?
Sequitur
punchlines, like really... drastic switches, you know, really good writing. And so I, you know, it was when I was with Maker, George.
Yeah.
So I brought Angelo in with Mickey to get him a job there. Mm. That's how much I believed in this kid. He was a fat kid from Modesto and just the nicest guy you would ever meet. In fact, he was so poor, I took him to El Cholo, which is a Mexican food restaurant, and he was so grateful for the meal. He ate everything on the plate, not just even the parsley,
the relish,
or even the shit that like
the garnish.
The, yeah, garnish,
the garnish,
the garnish,
yeah,
garnish, yeah,
yeah. He cleaned the plate. I remember that.
It's like me.
So one day, he calls me. His mom calls me. His mom calls me and says, "Hey, Angelo wanted me to call you. He's in Modesto now." And I'm like, "Why?" And he said, "He has cancer." And it fucking fucked me up. It was like, what? He's 24.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. He's a nice kid. And he spent a year up there, chemo, the whole thing. And his best friend is this guy, Josh Adam Myers, who created the show that I did last night. Mm-hmm. So a year later, I get a call from him, and he says, "I'm coming back into town." So on a Sunday... I met him at the Comedy Store. It was an open mic night. He went up, and I go, "Hey, Tuesday, I want to bring you back into Maker, you know?" And he goes, "Yeah, yeah, cool." So Monday night, anyway, so let's cut to Tuesday morning. I get a call from the manager at the time. Now he's the talent coordinator, Adam Egitt.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, are you sitting down? And I go, yeah. And he goes, Josh and Angela were in Josh's Jeep, and a drunk driver hit them, and Angela died instantly. And he was on blood thinners because of the chemo and stuff, whatever, and he bled out. Josh was in the hospital, and he was fucked up. Not only did he lose his best friend, but he was in critical condition. So everyone, I mean, every comic was at the Cedar Sinai.
So this kid overcame cancer only to get killed in a car accident right after. That's the saddest thing I've ever heard.
From L.A., right? The strength of also Angela Bowers is this, is that even though he was an open micer, when they did, we did fundraising shows, right? The improv one, Sarah Silverman, Rogan, I mean, Harlan Williams, these are people that didn't even know him.
Shut up.
I mean, A-list stars that didn't even know Angela Bowers just because of the word of mouth showed up to his like fundraiser. They made a lot, because his parents weren't wealthy.
Yeah,
they were poor, and so now we would go to the hospital to see Josh, and he obviously he was fucked up over it for years. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you deal with that? Not only did a drunk driver hit you, but here's another thing that just what I heard from Josh a couple of months ago. When he went to the trial of the kid that killed them. Angela, the drunk driver.
Yeah.
Face him.
And apparently his sister said, you know, yeah, but, you know, I guess she was in the car or something. She goes, I got a bruise on my leg too. So, oh, like, God. Made it like, you know what I mean? Tried to like. That?
Someone just died.
And it's like, number one, it's like, you killed a really talented, nice kid. So go fuck yourself.
People are just.
You know, they're just trying to like. Make money or something. Yeah. So here's this guy, Josh, who, you know, he's an open micer. His best friend died, this and that. So he starts this thing where, you know what? I want to do this thing where, because I like rock and roll. And they did it for years in L.A.
The show.
And it just kind of builds and builds and builds. So last night I told him, I go, it is just an amazing thing to see where you were. And because he was all fucked up on drugs and all that stuff, too. You know what I mean? And to see you go from there to being an executive producer of a show that you created, that you stuck by with for many years, is so inspiring to me. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So that's why I did it, too. You know, I did it because of that. And I thought I did a pretty good job.
But Kalila begs to differ.
Yeah, Kalila begs to differ. And you know what? When you guys see the fucking thing one day, you be the judge.
You make it seem like I'm just not a supportive person at all.
No, I'm not saying that. No, she usually is, except for last night.
Yeah. That specific.
I wouldn't say that. For last night, she wasn't that much.
Hello, that one night.
Not so much.
I only had a few brain cells working.
The
fever was getting in the way.
I've never seen Kalila in the 3 years we've been dating this sick.
Yeah, why are you so sick?
Ah, fuck, bro.
I never get sick with a cold or flu.
Never heard your voice like this.
Well, that's the thing. It's because I never catched a cold or flu. I generally have a very, very tough immune system. But I got hit hard, too. Like, I have the most violent cough. But I'm fine. It's no big deal.
You're just getting better today. Flu. I have a question for Gilbert. Mm-hmm. Do you want to be a chicken for Halloween next October? Is that what you're trying to do? Get skinny legs and a big body? Or
I walk into Bobby's home. I greet them. And Bobby looks at my body from a distance in silence and goes, you a chicken leg? It's because I'm wearing skinny jeans.
That's not why.
And yes, I've gained weight. I gained weight in my butt cheeks and my thighs.
What's happened is this.
I only noticed your face.
No.
Well, thank you for the body. Talking about my fat face.
When you gain weight, you're going to, I think your legs have AIDS. I do. I think your legs, you're the first probably.
Leg AIDS.
Leg AIDS.
Just specific.
Yeah. Because your legs look so nimble and sick and skinny, but your body is now getting fat.
You're not the first person to say that. In rehearsal the other day for the CBS showcase, there's a scene called We're Men where all the guys take their shirts off.
Yeah.
And I refused to take my shirt off.
Yeah.
So then the producer was like, Gilbert, just take your shirt off. It's just a rehearsal.
What's going on?
I lift up my shirt. She goes, wow, you look so skinny with clothes on, but you're so fat with your shirt off.
Yeah, what's going on with you?
I'm just not eating healthy.
You've been on the go and you've been very
busy.
There's
a lot of pizza. I eat, you know, when you go to these things, all the catering food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see people bring their own lunch, the other actors. I'm like, I'm too lazy to do that. So I eat the pizza.
Gilbert, when this whole CBS showcase is over, you're coming with me to the gym because I refuse to have you get fat and sad again.
Is Bobby going to come?
Yes, I signed him up for the gym.
I did a move.
You signed up.
Do you know who,
I signed him up.
Do you know who Brian,
he has a membership.
Do you know who Brian T is?
Yeah,
Fast he's like and an Furious. Asian. Yeah, he's Fast and Furious, but he's also on that new NBC like Chicago Med show.
Chicago Med. He plays a doctor.
Right. So I did a movie with him once, and for lunch, you know, I'm at catering, and he brought a little clear container with kale
meal prep
and two slices of little chickens.
But there's free food.
I know, but that's what they do to stay disciplined. I've already accepted I'm fat. This is the look.
But you
see, he accepted.
I'm dedicating my life to this look.
But you know, this is his max. His max is never. He's never. His body
not
cannot physically.
No,
impossible.
It's impossible.
His genetics won't allow for him pass 175 pounds.
I've never been 175. I'm 165.
Get it right.
Get it right.
The fucking scale right now.
Wow.
George, it's in the kitchen. Get the scale right now.
Go get the scale. Go get the fucking scale.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Okay,
I can't
172.
No, you said 175,
you said 175.
Right? And I said 165. So let's see where we're at.
Well, who's closer? Okay.
If you go over, right?
Right.
Whoever is closer wins, right?
Yeah. So what is the bet?
Have you eaten today? Yes, you just had a Jersey Mike's. I bought it.
Yeah.
Oh, you fluffed them up.
Okay, here, let me.
No. Let me what? You're not going to fucking do your little Filipino cheating mechanism.
She's going to put weights on it.
Yeah, you can put weights on it.
All right, there it is. We have.
So what is the bet?
Okay, so what's the bet? If I'm closer, win.
Thwax.
No, fuck the thwax.
Yeah,
thwax. Thwax.
Yeah, but
30
I don't
wax.
Feel,
30 wax.
Thwax don't hurt me.
Oh, I'll hurt you. I'll hurt you, 30
okay,
wax.
Go ahead.
You want to do 30 wax?
And if I win, what do I get?
30 wax.
Was that the most painful thing he hates?
No, I just get to bite your stomach.
Oh, God.
Oh, you can bite my stomach.
What the fuck
You can bite
that?
My stomach.
Okay, yeah.
I might get to bite your stomach then, too. Yeah. They got to be equal.
Does she hate that?
Yeah.
I'm sick.
Oh, you want 30 wax biting the stomach?
Yeah.
All right.
Or a Muay Thai leg kick.
Oh, yeah, Muay Thai leg kick. That's what I get.
No, because I already got a bruise last time from that. No. You said fuck us biting the
Wait,
stomach.
You hit him that hard where he bruises?
Yeah.
Well, he collapsed like I don't know why he does that, but.
Okay, we have Bobby Lee.
Taking the hat off.
So he's gonna get naked.
Yeah, it's a weigh-in.
No. Put your.
No,
it's a weigh-in.
I don't get to do that. No, it's a weigh-in. It's all full naked.
Okay, so Bobby, if you're listening, Bobby.
I'm gonna win this one.
Bobby's taking off his pants.
Yeah.
It's like a UFC weigh-in, and he's completely naked. Stepping up to the stage is Bobby the Emperor Lee.
Okay.
Uh huh.
Please God.
Okay. What is?
Please God.
What is it?
34.8 pounds.
What does it say?
34 pounds.
No, whoa! It's broken.
It's broken.
It's because
it's on the carpet.
It's on the carpet. You got to do it on the floor outside.
Oh, no, go right here.
Yeah.
There you go.
On the bathroom floor.
Okay, they're measuring right now. Bobby.
George.
His first weighing was 34.
Don't let him cheat. Okay. I need to see it.
I feel like you better check that.
What does it say?
164.
Wow.
We have 164.
Show that belly. Show that belly.
30 wax.
Oh, 30 wax.
I really wanted to bite your belly. Can I just bite it anyway?
No, you can bite it anyway. 31, 175.
George, time code 28 for pixelating.
Okay.
Hang on, you cannot slap me where my bracelet is because you're going to push the bracelet
into
my skin.
I'm only going to do one arm over and over again. You can't switch arms.
Okay, I don't care.
I feel bad.
Why do you feel bad? When have you ever felt bad about hurting me?
It's because it's on your camera.
I feel bad.
He never shows me mercy. Oh, fuck, Bobby. Jesus. Yay, suck it, huh?
That was only number two.
Two.
Okay, suck it.
Look at her face.
No, did she not say this doesn't hurt me?
Yeah, it doesn't hurt me. baby. That's two. All right. A bet's a bet, bitch. All right, give me two. All right, three.
Oh,
three.
Bobby.
Yeah. You said.
You're also not thwacking.
Yeah. That's my style.
You're punching down.
All right,
are you
three,
punching?
I'm punching.
He's
three,
not. That's not
three.
A thwack. That's not a
oh,
thwack.
I'll do more whacks.
Can I
three.
Show you how you
no.
fucking thwack me?
Because I'm not at 175. You can't do anything. Oh, sorry, but doggy. Move. Give me your arm.
Oh, you're really off.
Give me your arm. Give me your arm.
Sweetie.
Yeah.
No.
Please don't have a heart attack right
27.
Now.
27. 47 more.
Oh my god. All right. Please, I look. All right, Gilbert, all right. Look.
I'll do a different
After only
different
two,
area.
It's that red?
I'll do a different area.
Maybe just
you guys,
10.
Yeah, he's not thwacking, he's punching
what?
Downwards.
What am I doing? I'm using the two fingers. What? Watch. Get baby. All right.
Ready?
No, not on the chair. Chopping block.
Oh, jeez.
Sorry. I don't want to do it anymore. Okay. I have to do at least one more. All right, that's it. That's five's enough.
What, that's it?
Yeah, I'm going to lose.
You want more?
That. I mean, it's going to bleed soon,
it's
I think.
It's going to bleed, yeah. So, you know what? I owe you 25 more.
At any time.
No,
wants.
You can go different places.
No.
Finish
I'll
30.
I'll fuck up your arm.
Then I'd rather you do finish your 30 because I don't want you to cry about it.
Okay.
But just move around the
I'll
arm.
Go right, I'll go
so how many was that?
Well, you have
7? 25
more.
25
well,
more.
25. Just move around, okay?
All right.
You really want a red arm?
Okay.
Oh. Ooh.
Okay.
You feel bad, baby.
You also, like, look at her eyes, though.
You knuckled me. You fucking knuckled me, you bastard. Come here. He knuckled me. He knuckled me.
That's it. We'll do it later.
No violence here.
Let me knuckle you now.
No, babe. Let's go back to the podcast. People don't want to hear this shit. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
So,
how many times a week do you guys go through this like physical?
Every day.
Oh my
gosh. Every fucking
day.
There's wrestling. There's choking.
Yeah,
there's hair pulling.
There's all kinds of stuff going on.
But it's always to be. I know, like I'm crying about it and stuff, but I think I secretly
like it.
Love the painful attention.
Oh.
Like okay. There's something very bonding about it when someone like playfully beats you up.
Yeah.
It's funny.
I also want to say so this, and I've been, you know, I don't like reality shows. Do you guys know that?
You hate them.
I hate them.
Except for the 400-pound one.
I love that one.
Yeah.
But I found a new one. It's called, I can't even, it's called Long Lost Family. Long Lost Family. It's on TLC.
Of course.
It's the best reality show I've ever seen in my life. Because it's part comedy and part sad.
Part sad.
Comedy on purpose?
No, you know what it is? It's basically kids or adults who either were adopted or gave up a kid for adoption trying to find, you know, their sibling or vice versa, right? So it really is. I mean, we saw a couple of episodes.
Like what's one
that
episode?
Literally, I'll give you an example. There's one girl from LA. She's, you know, she had a family, a mom and dad, happy life. At the age of 19, it was revealed to her that her dad was not her dad.
Accidentally, though.
Accidentally.
Someone was
shit.
Like,
"Yeah,
you.
Hey.
How does
you
that
look
happen?
Italian? Yeah, because you look Italian.
Yeah.
See, I'm not Italian. Yeah, you are Italian. Look at your face, which is kind of rude.
That's
you
who says
mean?
That.
I'm just tan, whatever you know. But
Italian people are good generally.
Yeah,
good look.
So then her mom, she asked her mom, like, "Am I? I'm not Italian." She's like, "Well, your dad is not your biological dad." He's like, "Who the fuck's my dad?"
Just like that.
She's like, "Well, I was in Seattle in the late 60s, and I was working at a pizza joint, or I was at a pizza joint, and I met a guy that worked there, and we had sex for a couple of weeks, and then I never saw him again."
Barely even remembered his name.
Yeah, barely remembered her name. She got it wrong, too, when she told her the name. So what the show has investigators and they go out and they go to Ancestry.com or these places.
They do DNA
matching and all kinds of stuff to find, you know, their loved ones. And they found them. And so now this girl is now she's 39. So it took her 20 years to even do it. So now that's where their show takes place. So she's like, "I'm doing it now because my biological dad could be dead. So I want to do it now." So this lady, she's also she owns a animal.
Like a rehab.
Rehab.
She has like a rehab facility for animals in like Topanga.
In Topanga, right? They find the hip. He lives in Oregon.
Yeah, he's in Oregon. They find the
And you know what he does for a living? He has an animal sanctuary.
He's a director for wildlife rehabilitation in Oregon.
You guys want to do with cats.
They do this. No, but.
So the dad.
So they don't. Live with each other. Also, imagine the 7-year-old man going, "You have a daughter."
Yeah.
Right? They don't know each other, and yet they still both do the same thing. That's as if I was adopted, and then 40 years later, I find my dad, and he has his left foot missing
yeah.
from fungi. You know what I mean? And he like he has a tattoo of Pringles on his chest.
You know what I mean? He plays Skyrim.
Yeah, yeah. He changed his name to Destiny.
Destiny.
You know, and like, you know, that kind of cosmic.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they're both the same people.
Yeah, they are. And
so what was the reunion like?
It was especially emotional because the man never had his own biological children.
Right. He raised his stepdaughter.
Yeah.
And who he loves. And then when he sees her for the first time, it's just so, it makes you cry so hard.
Because they look the same.
Yeah. That last episode I saw broke me up, dog.
Yeah, this shit broke
this
us
shit
up.
Breaks you up, bro. You know, it's such a touching thing. And I thought I was dead in my heart.
You're the least dead person. You cry at everything.
But nah, bitch. Nah, I'm a man. God damn it, bitch.
I'm a man, dog.
No, I don't. When do I cry?
Crying makes you more of a man.
Oh, I cry a lot.
Yeah. Me too. I cry so much.
I do cry during reality shows and some movies that we watch and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like I cried last night when we saw that documentary 13th.
13th. What's that? On Netflix.
It's on Netflix. It's really touching.
Mm-hmm. It's a documentary that centers around the 13th Amendment, which essentially the 13th Amendment is to disallow slavery in America unless the person is like a prisoner or like is, you know, a criminal basically, right? And it just talks about like mass incarceration of black people essentially being the modern day version of slavery and how prisons are a very, very profitable business for a lot of corporations. And it gives you the whole history of why prisons are such a booming business and why we don't want to get rid of them and why we continue. It's essential to that we continue to
over the years they've tried different ways. Since they abolished slavery, white people have done different ways to chain them.
Continually oppress
them. Yeah, you know.
Because
and
it's what made the money. Slaves made them a lot of money in the past. So it's like, how do we continue
what is your face
to
right
make
now,
these
white
people,
man?
How to still make money
from
these people.
I think it's because you said white people.
You know, but he always goes, like, when we bring something up, and like that, he always questions
do it at the same time.
Head. You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck? What are you thinking right now, friend?
What am I thinking? I'm thinking the main problem is the war on drugs. Is my take on it. The war on drugs is a very
that's
racist.
That's in the
white people use as much drugs as anybody else, but it's all.
But watch
look
this
at
because
the prison doc like prison population is very much skewed towards.
That's
non-whites.
Exactly why because especially
yeah. So it's one in I think the statistic is one in every 17 is white in mm-hmm. prison.
Wow.
One of every
17.
In blacks, though. What is blacks?
So one in every 3 black men are going to be
in prison.
In prison in, or jail or
imagine
prison
that.
In their lifetime. So it's like the statistically it is it's
what
absurd.
Are Asians? Yeah. One out of every 10,000?
10,000. Yeah. The one crazy shooter.
Yeah. Yeah. When we do it hard
we
though.
Do it hard.
Yeah.
A plus.
Virginia Tech.
Jesus. It's true,
awful.
But also bad.
Really bad.
But true.
But it's actually it's a little more unbiased of a documentary because it actually shows you just how bad Bill Clinton was in terms of like militarizing the police.
But he had to do it. He purposely did it because of the fact that the last two presidents
right.
were Republicans,
and Reagan
right?
and Bush,
and they all pushed
set him up. Yeah,
you know this law and order.
Essentially, the documentary says that if you were if you were running for president and you on your agenda, it had to be a part of your agenda to say that you were tough on crime, or else you would absolutely not win. Mm. So everyone had to jump on this whole idea that you know mass incarceration and just like militarization of the police was the way to go. You know, or else you just weren't going to win the presidency. And so it basically throws everyone under the bus, the Democrats, Republicans, everybody across the board. Yeah. We did a huge disservice to
it's an enlightening. I mean, I don't know much about anything, but like when you were watching it, it really was emotional for me.
Yeah, it's just
yeah,
somber, you know?
It's very somber, yeah.
Like, wow, I was completely unaware. And you just realize just how ignorant you are of just how long this has been going on for, you know?
And you realize that life is fragile.
And we live in a bubble.
Yeah, and my brother and I almost died last week.
Oh, my goodness.
The Pringles can?
Wait, how?
Did you know that? That my brother and I almost died last week?
They didn't almost die.
Yeah, we almost died.
What's, no, let me hear the story.
We almost died, bitch.
Be supportive, Kalila.
I'm sorry. They almost died.
My brother and I haven't talked in a week because of last week's experience.
After the podcast is
after the podcast.
Okay.
The day after.
The day after.
Oh, wow. That's fresh.
So my brother and I pick him up to go get some vapes.
Okay.
He wanted to get start vaping because his lips are looking like fucking just like hyenas. I mean, his gums are just rotting.
Oh, gosh.
Because of the dipping.
Oh, that's right.
He dips.
I took him to the dentist two years ago because his tooth was hurting and Bobby didn't want to go drive him. So I was like, okay, I'm going to take you to the dentist.
What did the dentist say?
And then the dentist looks at the x-ray and then looks up at us, looks down and looks up at us.
My brother had never been to the dentist.
Yeah.
His whole life?
Uh-huh. And so he knows, he has home remedies about things.
Oh. Yeah.
Like, so he goes to
two on the other side. Just a...
Yeah.
No, my brother and I both have damaged fucking teeth. You know, we don't like flossing. I don't believe in it.
Before we continue,
I don't believe in flossing.
I'm gonna force you. I'm gonna force you to make an admission that he said you begged me never to tell on air. But
well,
since you talked about
don't
the
bring
abortion,
it up.
No bullshit. This is we're playing tit for tat. You fucking put me on blast all the time.
I'll just say it. I'll say it out front.
No. I'm gonna ask you a question.
All right, but can we just tell me? Can I tell the
tell
story
me,
first?
No, but after you answer my question.
All right, ask the question.
What's happening?
Exactly how many teeth do you have in your mouth?
And the honest question is, I don't know.
But because
I haven't counted.
The number you gave me last week.
If I had to make an educated guess.
Yeah.
He's counting with his tongue, I think.
Eight.
Eight or nine.
Okay, well, that was your guess.
What?
It's why not eight? A guess. He legit only has
eight or nine.
Eight or nine.
No, you
know,
like,
it's all in
like
the
one
front.
Of the
he
teeth.
Has no
I don't know
back
if they're
teeth.
Together or. No, I don't know if they're one tooth or two teeth, so I'm saying that's why I say eight or nine. Because of the plaque, I think the plaque kind of made them one.
They merged.
They merged. They merged it. Yeah.
They fused together.
They fused together. So I think I'm going to count that too. Yeah, I mean, my mouth is a disaster. And
Is it though?
Oh, first of all, I only brush the front part.
What is that?
Because what else is there to brush?
Those are the only, I don't do the back.
You don't
brush
your molars?
You don't have teeth there. Oh, you're supposed
to
brush
your gums.
No,
even before, because the showcase teeth are the front.
Oh, like the pearly whites.
Yeah,
pearly whites.
Right? They go, yes. But no, if you look deep, oh my God.
But you never have bad breath, ever.
I know. Because they have no teeth.
But, there's no teeth to smell bad.
But my brother has the same condition. I swear to God, we were never told to floss. We didn't know what, I didn't know what flossing was until like my mid-20s.
So there's like just food in your, between your teeth?
Yeah, they're just like rotting away my other, yeah, whatever, you know, but.
Wow.
It's fine. But anyway, I don't even know what. Oh, so that's. So you feel good now that that's out there?
Tit for tat.
Sorry.
You feel good?
No, I don't.
Okay. So I'm going to tell you the reason why my brother died.
Wait, what?
My brother and I almost died.
Oh, yeah. God. Don't say he almost died.
My brother didn't die. So we go get vapes, and I get him a little thing, and then we go, where do you want to eat? So we're like, let's just drive around. It's raining. And I'm driving a rental. And it's rush hour. It's like 6. Mm-hmm. And so we're driving up La Cienega Boulevard. And if you don't live in L.A., it's like one of the biggest, longest streets in L.A. It goes from Hollywood all the way down to, I don't even know where, past the airport. It's long. But the last tip of it to get onto Sunset is completely uphill. And it's the most congested part of Hollywood ever. And my car just stops. I forgot to put gas in the car.
Whoa, that's never happened to me before. It's
yeah,
so scary.
I know. But I don't know what's going on because it's a rental.
Oh,
and also, I'm not in one side of the street. I'm in the middle lane. I don't know why.
Rush hour.
The worst scenario.
Rush hour, right? We stop. And my brother goes, what's going on? What's going on? I go, I don't know, I don't. He's like, and then the gas thing goes up. You put gas in it? I go, it's a rental, I don't know. Right? I go, what do we do?
And I go, what is this, a sitcom?
No, that's how we talk.
What do we do?
He goes, I don't know what to do. And then we're yelling at each other. I go, go get it. And I throw money at him.
Why are you throwing money at him?
I go, go get gas. Right? So my brother takes this water glass. It's raining, right?
Oh, shit.
Now, it's stop, all traffic. All you hear is people screaming. you hear honking, chaos.
He didn't even put the emergency lights on.
I didn't know, don't know how. I don't know where the button was.
Oh my God.
So now I'm outside trying to direct traffic. And also it's on a hill, right? So I'm sliding because I have like slippers on, right? So I'm sliding and I see my brother running from the distance, right? And he just disappears.
He abandons you?
No, he's trying to get to the gas station. So now I'm in a blackout of sheer just panic. And then 10 minutes later, I see my brother running with a red canister, right? I go, what the fuck took you so long? He goes, fuck you, why'd you... You know, and we're yelling at each other, honking this and that. And then I open up the thing and I pour the gas in. And it won't go out of the thing.
Because they didn't have the fucking spout. You can't just pour it. You can't just buy gas. Yeah, you need the actual funnel.
So now we're just being drenched with gasoline. Nothing's going into the thing.
Gasoline fight in the middle of now La Cienega.
We're drenched in gasoline, screaming, what do you fuck? You know, and then my brother trying to look at the directions on the fucking thing, right? It's complete panic.
You're still in the middle of the road?
Yeah. Can I just say why we almost died? People are like going around our bodies get around with like literally this close hitting us. Mm-hmm. Also, we're both wearing like we're slipping because it's, you know, and we're afraid the car. And then at one point we're pushing the car, but it's the, you know, I don't know how to put it in neutral. It was chaos. Right?
Also, why are you pushing a car uphill?
Panic
at all.
I don't know. Panic because I wanted
Steve called me right after. Kalai, we needed you.
Yeah. So this is what happened.
So yeah. Next
thing I know, I just see two dudes running toward us in the middle of La Cienega. Two doormen from the comedy store.
Nice.
I don't know their names. I didn't memorize them.
Mm.
But I know what they look like.
Yeah.
They're comics. They're open micers from San Diego, the both of them. Mm. Hey, Bob, we saw you. We don't know right,
Bobby, stop talking like that.
You know, and so he's like, all you have to do is this. He puts it in the thing.
It happens like that.
Yeah, just like that. I throw the thing in the back of the car. I start the car. We just drive away.
Wait, you didn't like give him like money or?
No, dude, you don't even know what I'm gonna make his career. This guy, nice. He saved our lives.
What if he's not funny?
It doesn't matter. I'm gonna do everything I can to help this guy.
Awesome.
And that's all it takes to have your career made is like to know how to put gas in your car.
No, that's not gas. It's saving your life.
Good Samaritan.
You don't see the thing is what you're doing right now is what you're doing is you're taking the situation and you weren't there, man. It's like Vietnam. You weren't there, man.
Look,
you hear the stories of this and that, but it's like
until you're in
okay. Also, a week before that, let me tell you another one. A week before that, he calls. I have like 5 missed calls, so I know it's not good. Call him back. He goes like, what's the problem? He goes, I got into an accident. I was like, oh God, are you okay? Oh, is the other person okay? He goes, no, I ran into a center divider all by myself. Right? And I was like, well, I have AAA. I was like, call AAA. Yeah. I don't have AAA. I already put him under my AAA. Mm. He has AAA. Call AAA. I don't know how to do any of that. And nothing actually happened to his car. He just popped a tire.
Oh.
By the time AAA got there, it was just a flat tire. But in his mind, he thought he had just crashed and totaled the car. But he doesn't know how to think when he's panicked. And that's normal, I guess.
I'm one of those guys. I'm a coward. And also I'm a liar. Like if I'm on a plane and I'm at the emergency exit row and they say, in case of emergency, will you be able to help us out? And I always go, yeah. I can't. I know I can. If we go down, we're all dying.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how to open that thing.
Bobby, just turn the latch.
I don't know. Because I know that in a situation, I'm not a man in that way. And I'm ashamed of it.
But when you were growing up, like no one taught you how to like take out the lug nuts to use.
No, my brother and I learned how to dodge my dad's golf swings because he was in a violent rage.
Real life situation.
Like he never taught us anything.
Like a jack.
No, they never taught us anything. They only taught us about running from fear.
That's actually a good life skill.
Yeah.
So if there's like whenever I see, you know, like the, you know, the terrorist attacks in Europe and stuff like that, I feel like maybe I could survive because I'm such a coward. as soon as I hear something, I'll like go into a fetal position and I'll cry myself into, you know,
have you ever,
stealth mode.
Have you ever been tested in that way, though? Like, I think that I've been sort of tested. I was in high school and we had a little bit, we had a tunnel from one building to the next, and somebody blew up one of those M80s in the
toilet?
Tunnel.
Oh.
No, in the tunnel as everybody was running, going to their next class. And it sounded like a fucking bomb had got off, right?
Yeah.
And everyone sort of collapsed to the ground, like in fear, trying to like cover. And I looked at my sister, she looked at me, and we were zigzagging through that tunnel and trampling over people. But we came out of there like fucking champions. Mm. And we thought to ourselves, holy fuck, like maybe we're more prepared.
Yes.
Than we thought.
I am. I just thought of a situation.
What?
I was at the Comedy Store. This is 15 years ago. And we used to have Fat Tuesdays, which was an urban night.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody pulled out, I'm not kidding you, a semi-automatic weapon.
Shit, semi-auto?
Yeah, it was a pa-pa-pa-pa in the air. And he was tackled immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But I was the only one that had, I hit underneath like a table.
Immediately.
And I was already in the position.
Yeah.
Before, and people were still standing. They didn't even know what was going on. But I was already in the position.
Mm.
So I think I'm a survivor in that way.
Instincts.
Yeah.
Maybe. You know?
But you never really know when it's...
I know. I think that somebody should create a college called Man School. And they teach you how... My brother and I talked about that. Because my brother and I both don't know how to change a tire.
Mm-hmm.
My brother and I don't know how to put gas in a car in that way.
Mm-hmm.
In an emergency situation. We don't know anything because we were never taught it. I don't know anything about engines.
But that's just not a man thing, though. I feel like everyone should learn that.
Yep. No, I just want a school out there to teach me how to do manly things like, you know, fix a pipe.
Oh, I can't do that.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Is I don't know how to do it. I've been so used to just making phone calls.
This like is the so other day. True, because when I go to their parents' house, I tell them what your mom, your parents have me do for 3 days
straight.
They have
a list of things to what Kalila should do.
Oh.
It's just this, repair
this. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And him and Steve are just playing video games and doing their little thing. And I'm like repairing just about fucking everything. And when I'm done, she'll be like, okay, Kalila, now this one.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm fixing their Wi-Fi. It's like, I'm just the handyman.
Yeah. My brother and I are just like, we don't know. And like the other day, she's like, I need an air. What is it you wanted?
A humidifier.
Yeah, so I'm not gonna go get it. We called. What's it called?
There's a service called Postmates.
You called Postmates to get a humidifier.
Yeah.
I was too sick to go, and he was like, "I'm not gonna go drive and go to Target." So you got a delivery service.
And number one, did it work?
Yes,
it did.
And they got the right one.
They did,
and it worked out at the very end.
Thank you, Postmates.
Yeah. And I want to say to Tiger Belly fans, I was in that shitty movie Keeping Up with the Joneses, and I saw it on iTunes. And there's three comments on it, and the third comment is a Tiger Belly fan, which I really, it's really
good. I love how they make themselves known, too. Yeah. They're like, Bobby's the best part of this movie, hashtag Tiger Belly.
On the thing. That's really awesome.
And I think that you guys should keep doing that.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. It makes me giggle.
So are you guys having a good 2017 so far or what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Tired, though. We'll see what happens this pilot season, though. That will be a bad 2017.
Well, you're starting. I mean, no, I'm not going to like rub it in your face. But, you know, Gilbert, like you did get a little bit chubs. You need to work on it.
It doesn't matter, in my opinion.
Actually, you're just, who cares? You're funny. You're talented.
Here's the thing. I don't know my identity. Do I go fat or do I go skinny?
I just know that being fat makes you sad.
It's so stupid.
It makes him sad.
It's like somebody tell Eric Stone Street, hey, you got to lose weight. No, he went in himself and he got the fucking
thing. But he's happy as he is. But I know Gilbert.
You know, for me, it's like when people go, you got to do your hair this, I wear this. I go, fuck that. I'm just going to do me. I'm going to go in and do what I want to do where I'm fucking comfortable. And if like when they go, back when you're first getting an agent, they go, well, you have to audition for this cop role, so you should dress up.
Nah.
And so I would show up wearing a t-shirt and jeans, and everybody in the lobby would be in cop uniforms. And I'm not going to do that, because if you can't have the imagination as a producer or a writer let's imagine him in a cop suit, right? That's why I'll wear it when I get the job.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's weird when people dress up like that.
It's not even in anything where they go, you need to wear a bow tie. Fuck you.
Nah, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm not wearing nothing. And when they go, the worst at auditions. You have a headshot and resume? Nah.
IMDb, bitch.
Nah.
Keeping up with the Joneses.
Do they still ask for headshots, like in physical headshots?
For
yeah, they do.
They do. For I don't think for people like him, forget offers. Not
every once in a while they do, and it's like I always look at them like, no, I don't. Yeah. Okay. And the reason why, I mean, I don't want to say it, but it's like, if this is a comedy, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to sound cocky and weird, and I'm so sorry, but this is what I really feel. Okay? This isn't a comedy movie or TV show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you don't know who I am at this point, then we have nothing to talk about.
Mm.
That would be like, I don't know why you would need
because it. Because I'm going to say this right now. If I'm a writer and I'm a producer of comedy, I'm going to know who everyone is.
You're going to know really full roster.
Even if someone even lower wrong, I'm just going to know them, you know?
Yeah, and also there's a very limited amount of Asian comedians, so it's like, yeah, unless you're somebody who just
that's
cast
what I'm,
white
you know,
people,
that has
okay?
a lot to do with it. If I was a white dude, no, I would give him a headshot, yeah. But because also I'm specific in that way, where it's like, Asian guy,
handful, yeah.
Right? There's now, it goes down to 5 guys, mm-hmm. 6 guys, really, in terms of me being a threat, being threatened by somebody, there's like 6 guys that threaten me, Asian guys. None of them else do. You know, and so it's like at that point, no, you don't get a headshot.
Mm-hmm.
Is that wrong for me to think that way?
No, I don't know why they would ask you.
No, but let me ask you for real. Is that you too, sweetie? Is that wrong
for you to think that?
look, I think that if you're a casting director and you work in comedy and you want to be respected, you ought to be very knowledgeable about the roster of, you know, comedians out there. And if you don't know that, then you haven't done your homework as a casting director.
And that's exactly how I feel
it's
about
like,
it.
It's like we all go to school or we all practice for our jobs, right? It's like, what does the job entail? The job entails that you know a full list of, you know, actors and comedians. And if you don't, then you're slacking. You're not on the up, you know, you're not staying on top of your job.
Yeah.
I also want to say this before I forget. Meryl Streep got the Golden Globe Lifetime Achievement. What was it? What did she get? The
Lifetime Achievement.
Cecil B. Award?
Cecil B. DeMille. Yeah. Cecil B. DeMille. Is that what it is? Mm-hmm. You don't know anything about it?
I saw the video. I don't know the specific award that she won.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
If you say Cecil B., I know
your
the last
attitude
DeMille.
Right now is spunky.
What is spunky?
Funky. I just made it up.
Is that a good thing?
Yeah, you're being so spunky right now, dude.
You funky.
Rock and roll.
Spunky.
Rock and roll, buddy.
So, and I agree with what she said, except for the fact that whole
speech.
MMA.
She attacked mixed martial
she
arts.
She attacked mixed martial arts.
And said it was not an art.
Of all the things to attack.
Yeah.
The one.
I just think that martial arts have existed way longer than her great-grandparents. Like, to attack something that's so...
But also, she implied that it's more of a Republican kind of Trump supporter activity.
But she's not wrong, because they know it's the ultimate Trump supporter.
Yeah, but the thing is that a lot of people that I know that like MMA or UFC aren't Trump supporters.
Exactly. So she's very... She sounded
like... You think Joe Rogan is a fucking Trump supporter?
No.
What I'm... This is where her speech was going so well, and I was really like kind of...
That threw me off.
And when she said that, it was almost as if like, you're just one of those grouchy grandmas that's just like everybody in their Facebooks and their cell phones. Like,
yeah.
That's what she sounded like when she said mixed martial arts and football, too. It's like, lady, look, you've been doing everything you've been saying up to this point. Beautiful.
Great.
But then you don't shit on sports. Athletes are, you know, they dedicate
sports fans.
Their, yeah,
sports
it's like,
fans.
Oh, only the arts. This is the arts. Just acting and singing and
that was
being.
Too much. Too
that's
thespian.
Like you fucking. It made her sound elitist.
But also on top of that, as the president nominee or whatever, or the what do you call it, elect
president,
you don't respond to that.
You don't.
It should be beneath you.
It's beneath him.
But he loves to though.
You know, it's like if Barack Obama mentioned all of his critics in a tweet, he would never do that because he's above it.
Mm-hmm.
He's the fucking president. You know, let us, you know, us regular people, we nominated you to be above that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Look at me.
You didn't nominate him, but
I know.
But,
I know. Yeah, I know. But when I look at you, I see him.
Jesus Christ,
I
Bobby.
Do. When I look at you,
that's
I see him.
That's an insult.
And I don't know. I don't know if I can ever shake it. I just see him right in you. Man.
When I look at you, I see Donald Trump. That's the worst insult ever.
It's just like.
I could never.
I just all my hatred and anger is gonna go towards you.
Babe, the same way that you, George, like the same way that you didn't like being lumped together with all the affliction-wearing meatheads of UFC, is the same way George doesn't want to be lumped together with every.
I've never been lumped together with affliction meatheads.
Well, that's what Meryl Streep. No, that's what Meryl Streep did to us. As anybody who likes MMA, even if you're,
all right.
You know, like, we're not that sophisticated, but there are a lot of guys who are more sophisticated, like Ariel Helwani or Joe Rogan, and who are really, really intelligent people who watch martial arts.
Yeah,
she's just uneducated. That's how I'm, it didn't really offend me that much.
It
I was just,
didn't. It was just like, but it took away from her message because I felt like it still alienated a whole population of people who enjoy watching sports.
Yeah, football, that was a weird one.
You're like,
too.
You're going to attack sports, lady? Like, it made her seem as though she thinks that the only form of arts is the creative arts. As if martial arts is nothing creative at all. That it does. It only takes meathead dudes with muscles to perform. It's so much more than that.
Monks, bro. Monks.
Yeah. It's an actual practice. It's a fucking discipline. It's a philosophy. It's not just athleticism. And I wish that she could understand the intricacy and the nuances of mixed martial arts. What a pity that she doesn't know that. You know, doesn't know it like we
and
do.
Also, stop texting me about Steven Yeun.
Who?
I'm going to get him eventually.
Eventually? I don't like eventually. I like right now.
God.
I want
to. Oh.
I mean.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's like, what are you going to call? Should I call him or are you going to call him? It's like, relax.
No. Why?
Because he sees.
Just text him.
Because he sees Trump in you.
Just text him.
I see Trump in you. Why. Where are we out of time?
Just we're at text. More than one hour, text, Bobby.
Hour and one.
Okay.
Unhelpful advice with Bobby, Kalilah,
and Trump. George.
Go ahead.
The first one, Kalilah, from Omid?
Yeah.
Hey, Tiger Belly. I'm 20 years old and I'm starting my own podcast with my buddy.
Good.
Anyways, I started by having us both talking to a mic about random things like conversation, motivation, and a bunch of other things. But I found out that the actual, what is it, prescience?
Presence.
Oh, presence of the microphone stunted the conversation. So my question is, do you guys plan about what you're going to cover in each episode, or do you just go without a plan? Thanks, Persian guy.
So the presence of the mic is throwing him off. The presence of the mic hasn't thrown you off ever because you've been a professional performer for over 20 years.
Thank you.
So I think this more applies to a noob like me. When I first started doing this, even the presence of George looking at me or any camera or any lighting would throw me off. And in the beginning, I begged George if we could just make this a strictly audio podcast because it threw me the fuck off. Mm-hmm. It took me away from the stream of thoughts in my mind. But over time, with practice, you just sort of like inundate yourself with the same thing over and over again.
Listen,
you'll work through your own cracks, and it'll become more and more seamless and effortless as you go. So just keep doing it. It's just about, you know, practice.
It did throw me off, by the way. I had to get used to this. What happened was, it's not only about the mic and the earphones and whatnot. It's about, okay, we have to create, like, it's almost like you're on the spot.
Yeah.
And you have to create something, you know, through talking. And when I used to do the road with Pauly Shore in the 90s and Mencia, they would make me do press with them.
Mm. Oh.
Right? So I would go to press with them, and they're two polar opposite types. Mencia was a joke machine. He would have them, you know, bring up these topics. And he had these long bits that he could just, you know what I mean, rattle off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He could actually sell out a room based on his radio.
Damn.
Wow. Right?
That's legit.
Pauly did the opposite. Just doesn't know what's going on. Right? He doesn't talk into the mic. He'll walk away from the situation. Which is, I like that too. Because it gave it a weirdness.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. But in my head, I'm like, I can't do either one of those. It's just not a part of my personality. So When I was forced to do it, when I went on the road years later, I was terrible. Like, I would even burn bridges. Like, they would, like, they don't want you this time. you know, because I wouldn't do the question thing because a lot of DJs were like, write down these questions that we can ask you. I go, I don't do bits like that, okay. Right? So, but what I figured out was I just have to just do what I do. But that took Opie and Anthony for me to do that. When I first did Opie and Anthony, they ripped me apart. Mm-hmm. Right. So the next year when I did it again, I came with guns and my guns were I'm going to just say all the things that they're going to say about me up front. Right. So I suck dick. I'm ugly. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, just like I my life is terrible, you know, just to put that out there. And I did that not to get laughs. I did that so that I could just get through it. But it worked for me. And then they were like, oh, we love you. We love when you're scared and paranoid and all that stuff. And then I kind of learned to like, and then now it's just whatever. I don't care. I don't think about it, yeah. You know, but it just takes time. So just do it and you'll learn. You don't have to put them out right now. You can just do a bunch. And then when it feels right, then put them out.
Put it to you this way. It's so natural what you're feeling because we have guests that have been on this show whose episodes we've never released.
I know.
Because of true. This. And this yeah, is true. Why. They're very interesting people outside of this room. And we invite them because we think that they'll have so much to say. But as soon as the mic is turned on, as soon as those cameras are on, it's like they're frozen. All of a sudden, they become non, like, you know, conversation. Like, they've lost all ability to converse with you. And when I first recorded with Bobby, even without a mic, we were just using a computer, our very first podcast together of The Calamity. Mm-hmm. We could only do it for exactly 17 minutes. Why? Because I was stumbling on my words. And even the idea of it being recorded was so overwhelming to me because I thought I had to be a certain way. And you just have to realize that the more organic you are, the less of a shit you give about making mistakes. And the less shit you give about fluff words or saying or it, just be your absolute self, but be your absolute self so much and do it so often that it doesn't even, you know, become a thought in your mind. And expose yourself so much that it just doesn't affect you. The mic then becomes your third limb.
Another thing, though, is that I don't, you know how I pronounce things wrong? Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know how to say certain things. Normal people would be like, I can't say it, or I'm not going to, I don't care. But because I have this persona now of a guy who doesn't need to know fancy words, you know, I pronounce things in the wrong way, and I don't give a fuck. Yeah. But that actually, I had to learn that. Because, you know, before I would say, don't say that word because you don't exactly know how to say it. Now I try to attempt it. If it doesn't work, I go, how do you say it? Right? My brother, you think that my brother is like that in real life? He developed a persona as a defense mechanism. Mm-hmm. You know, of this guy who doesn't know much. I don't know, you know, but he knows. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's a manipulator in that way.
He's very smart.
He's very smart in that way.
Yeah, when he went up on all those theories and stuff, I was like,
yeah,
Jesus.
I mean, my brother, but when he's in, he did it when he was on Mad TV. When he, you know, he used to guest star and stuff. He did it when he does podcasts. He does it. He does it when he meets new people that he wants to impress. He pretends that he's like this guy who's just visiting from a different planet.
Simple.
Who's just trying to, yeah, simple.
But I wouldn't say he's not being himself. It's just, he has elements of himself. Yeah.
It's an exaggerated version of an aspect of my brother's personality. Yeah,
but he's still magical in real life.
He's even more magical
in real life. Yeah. Like who he is on podcast is like an alternate version of mm-hmm. him. I find him to be extra magical.
But this guy doing the podcast is you're going to create a kind of persona, but that takes trial and error and really just kind of throwing it out there.
Oh, his question also is, Do we come prepared? Do we come prepared No, Bobby never does. I might have, here's the extent of what I've written down, which is just five things jotted down. I have Meryl Streep, stranded car, long lost family, and then jealous. I wrote the word jealous. I don't know why. This is how I feel all the time.
What is one of the rules, Gilbert? I know what they are, mm-hmm. but what are one of the rules of improv?
Yes, and.
And also what is? When they say and, what do they mean by that?
Add on to it. Don't ever right. say don't no. Disagree. Don't ever say no or don't disagree. Don't stop.
Add information. Mm-hmm. Mm. You're always adding information. So those rules apply to this. It's like all I have to do is add more information. What people don't want is silence. Mm-hmm. Right? So I just kind of, you know, I will ask a question or I'll add on to something. Sometimes I say things that I regret.
But it's still adding.
But it's still adding, yeah. Right? I'll like in the back of my mind, I'll go, why? But that's what it is.
It's the first probably the first 12 episodes that we recorded. After we would record, I couldn't sleep the whole night. Yeah. I would pick apart every wrong word that I said wrong. And to this day, I still remember which words like that I can't get over.
Yeah.
Yeah, like there's one I
Fun
meant to
fact,
say.
Those were highly edited back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Because one time like I meant to say like noxious and I said noxic and I was like, I'm an idiot. Did I even go to school?
So we take out that word.
My dad would. Yeah. I mean, like, no, it was like we kept it on there and it haunts me to this day. But you soon realize that it's like, you know, 3 minutes ago, I couldn't even come up with the word converse. Like I stumble on my words. Like I'm a stutterer just by nature, you know, but you get over your insecurities real quickly if you just keep doing it. You figure like, okay, like if I can't get my message across the first time, I'll stumble, but let me get it across the fifth time.
Another thing. Can I do one more yeah. advice? It's you never live in the results. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that is that when you're doing a podcast, you can never go, or anything creative in this way, if I do this, it's going to lead to this. Because that just adds more pressure onto what you're doing in the moment, right? And it doesn't come out organic. You cannot expect anything from this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying to myself.
And that's exactly what we, when we started this, we expected
nothing.
Mm-hmm. It was just a little side project.
For fun.
Yeah.
For
if
fun.
I've learned anything from people who've made it big on YouTube, they do it for the pleasure of it because
oh
you're not going to make
here
anything.
Goes fucking YouTube bullshit again.
all these
people from YouTube.
You're right, George.
All these people from YouTube.
That's a Trump tweet right there.
Or anywhere.
Yeah. YouTube. What's up? All these people from YouTube. What?
No, I just said it. God damn it. No, they do it for the pleasure of it. Like
they do it for the pleasure. They don't do it for the hits. They don't do it to get followers.
You have to do it because you want to do it early on, and then
no, I never got that from them.
That's what George got from them.
No, that's not what you get from them. Nope.
Second question.
No, not the second question. I'm not done with this one. Done with this. He said the word
YouTube.
That's gonna get me fucking crazy.
Trigger
right
words, YouTube. George. YouTube. Come on.
What else did you learn from YouTube stars? I want to know. I want to learn too.
No, do it for the pleasure. Do what you want to do. And then, the other thing that a lot of smart people do.
No, YouTube people say
yes,
that. Yeah.
Smart YouTube.
You're saying smart YouTube now. Yeah. They're smart.
Smart YouTube.
Holy fuck.
They'll start with one thing, and then once you see something else, you'll pivot. But you have to be doing something first.
That's life, bro.
Yeah, I know. I'm just talking about my experience.
In life, dude.
I'm not talking about
start businesses.
Reading books.
What do they say? People start 5 or 6, 7 businesses before they get the one that hits.
Fails, yeah.
Yeah. You didn't learn that from YouTube. That's life. Go ahead. Next question.
Life, Bobby. You want the long one or just?
No, get the long
one.
Yeah,
the long one.
Get the long one going.
I can read it if you're.
No, I got it.
Okay.
No, you can read.
All right. This is from our friend JoJo. Hello, Tiger Belly or Urban Bobby.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
All day, every day. Hollywood Nights, dog. Billy in the house.
Hollywood Nights. I've come to you with a hopefully clear and understandable inquiry. My girlfriend and I are approaching our 2.5-year mark, and I couldn't possibly ask for a better companion.
There we go.
We know each other through and through, mentally, emotionally, and for the most part, physically. We are what Kalai calls efficiently, functionally, yes, but still very much physically and verbally head over heels for each other. Mm-hmm. To keep things short, the only relevant details of our relationship to this question are listed below. Met in high school, took her virginity, have a very forward and experienced sexuality, am only one she's been with that intimately.
Okay, so hold on. Repeat that? She's never been with anyone else?
I am the only one she has been with intimately.
Okay.
Thus, she lacks sexual etiquette.
Okay.
I fucking love eating her pussy.
Okay. Whoa.
That's aggressive, man.
It's aggressive.
She's very, very poor at giving oral. Ooh.
Okay. Okay.
I enjoy giving oral. It pleases me to please her, but I very much so enjoy receiving it as much as most men do. Mm. I have had unforgettable oral encounters prior to my relationship with her, so I have had a taste of the cookie. But now it's just like the jar is locked because Morgs just can't bake the cookies like some other girls. It's not that she knows and refuses to do it well. It's that she completely lacks the knowledge of proper oral, thus frustrating both ends of the act because I am too timid to tell her to do it differently. Did you write this, George?
Is it you, George? Is that you, George?
It just keeps on going.
Stop it. Stop it. I already know the question.
Okay, yeah. Finish it, please.
Hey, I need your... Okay, so it just has stopped me... So it has just stopped completely. I essentially just want your opinions on how to approach her in the correct way to essentially say, hey, I need you to occasionally suck my dick and suck it right because I eat that ass and never get no pleasure. End quote. I envy Kalai and Bob's intimate relationship solely for what seems to be the open communication and transparency. I adore the podcast.
Mongolian's asshole.
Keep doing what you're doing. You get me through my late nights at work. Thanks in advance.
Okay, great question.
I have the answer.
Great question.
What is it?
Well, Kalai and I watch porn together.
What do you know? Okay, hold on. Take that back. Let's be clear. He watches porn while I blow him. That is not watching porn together.
I know, but you and I have looked at porn together.
Because I see it in like my periphery.
No, we've seen it together.
Oldest for youngest, Clara?
We have watched porn together. Yeah, I mean, okay. I guess, yes, we have.
And so when she watches porn, I mean, she'll get the porn version of it, but they're professionals. They're accurate in many ways. You eat the sack a little bit. You suck on the sack, get the stem.
The stem.
The head part, you know what I mean? Do the whole thing. But I would do that.
Tell me I don't suck a good dick,
She's
though.
The best in the business.
Thank you. Wow. I really am.
The best in the business. Cecil B. Award for that. The lifetime achievement of dick sucking.
Cecil B. DeMille.
I should be giving a speech. So that would be the first thing. And also, I would say this. Just I know they're young. This seems young. How old is he?
They're very young. I think they met in high school. And they've only been together 2.5 years. So I'm
guessing
20.
That's, you know, those kind of. I'm 45.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So your dick sucked a lot.
Yeah, I have. But I've also, through the years now, just can look at somebody and go, this is what I desire. I mean, you know, I'm not going to not say something.
Right.
She says shit all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, you got to have that open communication, baby.
Yeah, I think that when you're very young, you don't know how to do that without the fear of possibly offending somebody.
Rejection.
But when you realize that sex is just a really open highway of, you know, and it should be a place where I have this rule where it's a place, I'm a yes man in the bedroom. Like, whatever you say, I'll never judge. I'll probably try as long as it doesn't involve like a fucking rusty pole up my ass.
Ooh.
You know, I don't want tetanus, but it's a place where anything goes. And you know, I think maybe I'm trying to think of a time I was reluctant to suck dick. And the only time that I've ever been reluctant to suck dick or if it wasn't enjoyable was if I had some TMJ issues with my lock jaw because my jaw clicks on the side or if the dick was like too big because it is a chore.
So yours clicks all the time with my dick.
Yeah,
Hollywood Nights.
No.
Or the another time that I really, really didn't want to suck dick was when a guy just wasn't very clean down there and he wouldn't clean under. He wasn't.
Jaw lock.
He wouldn't clean under his turtleneck, you know, because he wasn't. It was a very, very peculiar, off putting scent for me when I was very young.
Yeah.
And I didn't like going down on him. I still don't love giving blowjobs, but I see it. I do enjoy it if it's just in the throes of like passion, but if you just ask her, maybe consider if, you know, ask her about whether or not she even enjoys it at all. I know she gives shitty blowjobs right now, but even as she's giving shitty blowjobs, does she enjoy giving shitty blowjobs? If it's something, because there are some girls that are just like, I don't like it. It reminds me of this. I have a very close friend who's legit tells when she first dates guys, she's like, I just don't suck dick. I don't like the act of it. And you have to respect that. You know, there's something about it.
She's going to be an old lady.
No,
with
she's
cats.
Married.
Really?
Yeah, she's got a lot of hot dudes too in the past.
Well, they just don't like their dick getting sucked.
I mean, they just kind of, you know.
Her pussy must be just like mithril.
Super tight.
You know what mithril is?
What's mithril?
What's mithril?
You guys know what mithril is?
Mm-mm. What's mithril?
it's that stuff in Lord of the Rings where they made the chess piece for Frodo.
It's like a special element.
Yeah, it's special. Yeah, because remember when Bilbo goes, that's mithril, you know what I mean? Armor. Yeah. It was like shiny. Yeah.
My final suggestion is to just say it. Like, hey, like, ask her first, what do you absolutely love? Like, what do you love the most about sex that I can improve on? So put it on, you know, put it that way first, phrase it. And then maybe she'll return and be like, well, what do you like? And then you say, I love blowjobs this way,
yeah.
You know, and everybody's different, and girls will find, and she'll find, if you're not the last guy she'll ever be with, she'll find that each guy, you have to learn each one separately. And even, I'm like fucking 32 now, I've sucked a lot of dick in my life. Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry.
I already know you did. I know you sucked dick. All
I have, and I'm ashamed of it, you know?
I met every guy,
bro.
Sucked a lot of dick. Sorry,
there is one girl that I dated.
Better than me, who sucked your dick better?
No. That I'm gonna was, cry. No, her fuck bad. She,
oh, fuck.
She would get on top of me, and she would not go up and down, but she would do like a hula hoop thing.
She's doing the clit thing where she rubs it on your.
Yeah, but she's doing a hula hoop, so she's going in a circle, like kind of like the. You
it
know
hurts
I mean?
Me.
It hurts, it and hurts. Also doesn't feel good, right? Yeah. And I would go, no, babe, up and down sometimes.
Sometimes, she'd
go, okay. And then she would still do the hula hoop thing.
Oh, because God. Maybe that's what felt good to her.
Her, yeah.
Yeah, but bitch, do up and down when I say it.
Bitch, do up and down.
I said I had the courage. I had the courage to go, can you just, for a little bit, go up and down? Yeah. And then she looked at me and says, yes.
The hula hoops, the shit out
if
of
if she
you.
Said, nah, then I'd be like, oh, this is how she's going to do it. Yeah. But it's the fact that she didn't even know how to do it.
Show us for Bobby.
Bobby, you want to talk about your shows?
Well, we have time.
Almost an hour 30 and romantic comedy. 90 minutes.
Bobby will be at the Irvine Improv
this weekend. Maybe Rosenbaum, maybe not, because he's sick.
Oh.
So everybody in Los Angeles seems to be sick right now.
Everyone's sick.
Yeah. That rain.
Yeah, so I'm so sorry, guys, for
I
you
mean,
guys.
I mean, Addison soon.
So Irvine Improv first, 13th through the 15th, and then San Antonio Laugh Out Loud, January 20th to the 22nd.
I'm playing that room?
Yep.
You like that room?
You're 3 weeks back to back.
And then Dallas?
And then Dallas. So you have Addison Improv the week after.
Oh, my God.
After that.
It's going to be tough.
And Schaumburg Improv, I think it's the weekend of Valentine's.
Oh, Chicago. My God.
Why?
Oh.
Am I going with you?
Yeah, which one do you want to go to later? You got to go to Texas with me.
They're both in Texas.
Yeah. Whataburger.
Please go to San Antonio because it's so boring.
San Antonio.
He didn't mean that, fans in San Antonio. He loves your city.
No, I mean, I love the Alamo.
I love the Alamo. The Alamo.
He loves the historical, you know.
I love the Alamo.
George, you want to hop on there really quick? Or you just can stay where you are. It doesn't matter. Any announcements you want to make?
Our YouTube is at 30,000 subscribers, so Ooh. Thank you, everybody. We just hit that benchmark.
Good job, guys.
Our Reddit's almost 1,000.
Ooh.
It's getting close, so thank you guys there.
What 999 of whom still hate me so much.
Reddit.
No, it's been pretty nice.
Reddit, the darkness.
The darkness.
I call it the darkness.
The underworld that will consume you.
Yep, user AlxBrbit found the how to build your own Pringles can pocket pussy, so he has a link,
sir,
to that on there.
Go friend him, meet up, do a Pringles meetup.
An arts and crafts meetup?
We probably shouldn't promote that.
And then don't forget to rate us on iTunes. So user Noah Sizzle gave us 5 stars, says one of the realest podcasts. Do your thing, y'all. # Urban Bobby.
Oh, God. I can't believe that's like a thing now.
Yep. It's become a thing.
What about Urban Kalila?
There's no such
thing.
We
want it to
start.
What about
Long Beach Kalila?
Kalila is Long Beach.
No, Kalila Long Beach is like, let me suck your dick.
let me suck
my dick. Where are the dicks at? Anything else, George?
No, everything else is too long. Let's we'll all read more comments. So leave comments on the YouTube, Reddit, and iTunes, and I'll read them next week if I like them.
Well, I don't know how I felt about that whole segment that just happened.
What segment?
That segment. We are reading comments.
I mean, it would be kind of fun.
Hello, Tiger Belly Nation. It's George reads your comments. Thank you, and.
Let's stroke our own. Let's suck our own dicks. This is what it's about.
No, it's about them. It's about the audience.
Oh, really? Before we go to our social media, shout out, whatever. Your thoughts on this weekend, old man BJ Penn fighting the young, crazy Yair Rodriguez in Phoenix.
Look at my face. Oh, so excited.
He's going to die, right?
I'm so excited.
He's going to die. Just because he's a Jackson, he's going
to
die.
To put it out there, BJ Penn was my absolute favorite fighter.
Oh, you and your sister love him.
Forever. I mean, when he, Kyle Ono, that fight.
That was
when
the
he still
one.
Had all of his hair.
And then jumped on the fence. And did he run off? I think he just left, right?
I mean, just amazing. And so naturally talented, too. But will I say that I am absolutely excited to see him step into the octagon? Not really, because I do want him to. I think he's getting older, and I think that he's lost his luster a little bit. And I think he should always protect his health first, you know? He's just not somebody that I'm like clamoring to watch anymore, but I do give him props beyond props just for being BJ Penn.
But it hurts me to see him in the
Who's
ring.
In the undercard?
It's really weak.
When does Eric Koch fight?
Not on that card. Probably the next one.
I don't remember, but we need to watch that one and support him.
So really quick, BJ loses, then retires again. Or Yair. That guy's crazy.
Yeah, I don't see BJ winning unless it goes to the ground, because his jiu-jitsu obviously is just ingrained in his DNA, I think.
There you guys have it. Our very quick MMA minute. So make sure you follow us on Instagram at Tiger Belly, on Twitter at The Tiger Belly, and email us any questions at thetigerbelly@gmail.com. You can follow Kalila on all social media at
Calamity K, and I'm sorry for being sick this week. I'll be better next week.
And you can follow George at all social media at
Voted Best Channel or George_Kimmel.
And you can see more about Bobby's tour dates at BobbyLeeLive.com. Everyone, have a good night.
Ciao.